Welcome to the Logic Course. You're about to learn something that's really crucial to all the rest of the courses that you're going to have. Think of it this way. In every course that you take, you're going to be taught the theories, the explanations of different people. They're going to disagree. It doesn't matter whether it's in the hard sciences or it's in sociology or economics or ethics. Everybody's got a theory. And they give reasons for their theory. Here's why you ought to take our point of view. No, you should take this point of view. Here's why you should take this point of view. How are you going to tell whether the reasons really require the conclusion that they're trying to defend? You're going to get a lot of points of view on every subject. How will you decide between them? It's surely not toss a coin in the air and say, I'll take this theory if it comes down heads and that one if it comes down tails. You want to do something better than that. What you need is a way to tell, for any given set of reasons, whether the conclusion that they are urging and that they are defending really logically follows from those reasons or it doesn't. And that's what you'll learn to do here. You'll learn a way of being able to tell whether someone's conclusion really follows from his or her premises. You will also learn a way to prove that it does not. If it doesn't follow, you can prove that too. Now, we're used to the idea of constructing proofs like that in math. We have certain initial conditions, and then you go through procedures and you come out with a conclusion. And most people are not used to thinking that that can be done for language too. It's not just math in which we can show what set of premises yield what conclusion. It's language as well. Take, for example, a simple argument like this. If all dogs are animals and all animals are living things, then all dogs are living things. If the two premises are true, the conclusion has to be true. And that's what logic is after, that relationship between the premises, the reasons given for the conclusion, and the conclusion, such that if the premises are true, the conclusion must also be true. That relationship in logic is called validity. An argument is valid if, and only if, whenever its premises are true, its conclusion must also be true. Now you might ask, what must means there? How would I know that it has to be? It has to be, or else what happens? And the answer to that is, it has to be or you contradict yourself. So the overriding rule in logic is that if you contradict yourself, you're wrong. You can't say that that something both is and isn't in the same sense at the same time and get away with it. If I owe you $20, it can't be that I paid you and I didn't pay you. Either I did or I didn't. And it can't be both. And it has to be one or the other. That's the compulsion in a logical argument. That if these premises are true, you would have to contradict yourself to deny that this conclusion follows. And that's what you'll learn a technique for doing. Now, let me emphasize that. Doing. This is not going to be a course where you learn how people do logic. It's one in which you're going to learn to do logic. On the final exam, you're going to construct proofs. In order to be successful at what this course requires, then, you're going to have to make up your mind right from the beginning that you're going to memorize the rules and practice, practice, practice. This is like the difference between getting a lecture on how the piano is played and learning to play the piano. Clear? This is a performance course. You're going to learn to do logic. You're going to perform. In the final exam, you are going to construct proofs. Now, let me say this, add this too. I've taught this course for many, many years. And the grade I have most frequently given The grade I give far more often than any other grade is A. The people that learn the rules practice, come in, they take the exam, they construct the proofs, and they leave, and it's fine. No problem. If you do not learn the rules, if you do not practice, it'll be hopeless. So the second most frequent grade I've given in all those years is F, for people that just don't do the work. Now, that can happen for a number of reasons. People can just slough off, that's one thing. But sometimes there are legitimate reasons. Someone gets sick for a while, can't keep up. Or someone, there's a family tragedy or something like that. That can interrupt things. Now, let me tell you about this. The thing that makes them fail when they fall behind is that they don't have time in a semester to catch up to everybody else. Nobody can go twice as fast as everybody else, catch up, and be prepared for the final along with the rest of the class if they've been out sick 2 weeks. But you don't have that problem. They have that problem because they had to finish the course in 14 weeks. That's the standard college semester where I come from. You don't have 14 weeks. You have 6 months to finish this course. So if there's some interruption in your life, you get sick for a while, you can come back to it, and work at your own pace, and you can still finish it. So you're not going to have the same problem that those other people had who got the F's. You should all be in the A category. And that would please me very much. I'd like to see you all get A's. Let me tell you a little more about what goes on in logic so you'll know what to expect in the course. Let's go back to that business about people giving reasons for some conclusion they want to defend or a theory they want to defend, a point of view they want to take. Those reasons are called premises in logic. Let me put this up here on this little board. And we say that the relationship between the premises and the conclusion is that if the premises are true, the conclusion, must also be true. And that, I said, was the relation called validity. If the argument is valid, then if the premises are true, the conclusion must be. I heard someone give a lecture one time, and this is a professor. And after the lecture was over, he was taking questions from the audience, and the audience asked him about another professor who had a different view. And this guy actually said, well, the other professor's premises are true, and his logic is just fine, but his conclusion's false. And so what that professor showed was he knows absolutely nothing about logic. He doesn't know as much about it as you do right now. That's just what's impossible. Take that argument that I gave a moment ago, dogs are animals. Animals are living things, so dogs are living things. These premises happen to be true, and they entail a conclusion that is true. The relation of validity holds in that argument, and I hope that you can see that for yourself. But if I change this, and I make this tulips, all tulips are animals, and then I put all animals are rocks, I get the conclusion that all tulips are rocks. this premise is false, this premise is false, this conclusion is false, but that argument is valid because it's still the case that if this and this were true, this would have to be. I hope that's clear. Validity then doesn't mean that the premises are true. It doesn't mean the conclusion is. Listen again, it means that if those premises were true, then that conclusion would have to be also. Can you see that is so? I hope so. If all tulips were animals and all animals were rocks, all tulips would be rocks. In other words, whatever truth is in the premises is conveyed to the conclusion with no loss if the argument is valid. This one is valid, but there's no truth in the premises, so none gets conveyed to the conclusion. And they're all false. So you, in a valid argument, you can have true premises and a false conclusion. You can have false premises and a true conclusion. You can have true premises and a true conclusion. The only thing you can't have are true premises and a false conclusion, because if the argument's valid, that truth is conveyed to the conclusion with no loss. That's what we're going to learn to be able to check out when people give us reasons for a theory, when they give us an argument for a certain conclusion. You should take this point of view rather than that one. We'll see. We will have a technique for determining. When we write down those premises and that conclusion, we can then construct a proof that the conclusion does or does not follow from that from those premises. So that's what's really important here. And this is the science of deduction. That's what logic is. It's the science of learning to be able to deduce from the premises a valid conclusion or show that it can't be done, in which case the argument's invalid. I hope that this much is clear, and I hope that the value of being able to do this has come across. Otherwise, you would be lost. You'd be like Alice in Wonderland. I mean, this theory, that theory, this point of view, know that, but you'd be at sea. How do you tell? Well, at least you could check on whether the conclusion is actually entailed by the reasons the person's giving. And if it's not, then we go back to the drawing board and ask them, well, what are the other reasons that you haven't given us that you're just assuming? Well, I want to say something else about the work. I mentioned that you're going to have to memorize rules and that you're going to have to practice. There are piles of exercises to do, little logic problems, and you apply the rules to them and so on. When I say memorize the rules, what I mean there is that you have to know those rules so well that it takes you longer to recognize your mother's face than it does one of those rules. So are we clear? You have to really memorize them. You have to be able to see them embedded in an argument. When you look at the argument, what logical rules you can use just popped out at you. You know them so well. So it's not just be acquainted with the rules. It's memorize them. And I mean really memorize them. Because when you're given a problem to do, there's the procedure isn't now do this and that. It's what rules can you see that you can use, that you can apply to the premises in this argument and start doing it, start deriving lines, new lines from those premises. There's no substitute for that. You have to memorize the rules, and then you have to sit and practice with the piles of practice exercises. You do that, you'll be fine. Remember, you gave more A's than any other grade for a long, long time. It's at this point that I wish you could ask some questions about anything that's not clear. And I know that you can't do that, so I'm going to try to anticipate some of them myself. What I'm going to do is use one of the earliest systems of logic to give you examples of how this, of what this looks like. This early system of logic was invented about 300 years before Christ was born. And it was invented by a very bright fellow who lived in ancient Greece, and his name was Aristotle. And he devised a way to tell whether a conclusion follows from premises for a limited kind of set of arguments. He starts with the fact that he's going to now draw conclusions, assert the relation of validity, for language, not numbers. If you do it for quantities, it's mathematics. If you do it in language, it's logic. Of all the parts of language, there is only one part that is either true or false. A statement is a sentence that asserts that something is in fact the case. A question doesn't. It doesn't assert that anything is in fact. If I say, is it raining? That doesn't assert that it is. It's asking you for a statement in reply. A command, please put that down over there. That doesn't assert that anything is true or false. There are other kinds of lots of sentences that do the same thing. If I say to you, oh, I'm sorry I did that. I apologize. That doesn't assert that anything is true or false. I have apologized to you by uttering that sentence. Same thing happens in court. The judge finds somebody innocent. I find you innocent as charged. That is doing the finding of innocence. The statement performs an act. Those are neither true nor false. But statements that assert that it is raining or that somebody is guilty are either true or false. And a statement is true if and only if what it asserts is in fact the case. So we come to statements, and there are all kinds of them. There are compound statements, there are disjuncts, hypotheticals, and so on. And he took the simplest form. Of statements that we call categorical statements. One subject, one predicate. The predicate of a sentence is what you say about the subject. So if you assert all horses are racehorses, that's a simple categorical statement. It's either true or false. We know it's false, don't we? And that's one kind of categorical. All the subject is whatever the predicate is. It's universal because it's about all of the subject. And it's affirmative because it's saying something positive about the subject. Then there's the negative universal. No horses are racehorses. Subject is horses, the predicate's racehorses. Again, this is a false sentence too, but it's one possible way to write a categorical. They can be universal, positive, or negative. Then they can be specific rather than universal. Some horses are racehorses. And then negative. Some horses are not racehorses. Of course, in this illustration, the two top ones are false, the two bottom ones are true. But what's important is that here are the four basic kinds of categorical statements. Sentences that are either true or false. And they are related in certain ways that show up when you put them up here like this. You can just see some of the relations. For example, you can see that these two here can't both be true. You can see that these two here can't both be false. But of course, the relationship we're really looking for is the one that governs whether a conclusion follows from premises, and that's whether you have to contradict yourself. Remember the law of non-contradiction, the law that says nothing can both be and not be in the same sense at the same time. Where are the contradictories on this diagram. Well, they are here. They are the diagonals on the diagram. And this diagram is called the square of opposition. And it was something that Aristotle discovered, because there you can see the important relationships of contradictoriness. All horses are racehorses, or some are not. Now, those are contradict one another in the sense not only that they can't both be true, but one or the other of them has to be true. Same thing holds here. No horses are racehorses, or some are. So up here, they can't both be true, but they can both be false. Down here, they can't both be false, but they can both be true and are. But here on the diagonals, one must be true and the other must be false. And there's no third alternative. That doesn't tell us which one is true. Sometimes we know, as in this case, and sometimes not. I can change what this is about. It doesn't have to be about racehorses and racehorses. It could be about something else. And we cannot know which of the contradictories are true and which are false. But we do know that one of them has to be true and the other false. So right away, we see exhibited to our logical intuition some of the relationships that we're going to try to tease out of arguments. We want to see whether the relation between the reasons given for a conclusion and the conclusion are such that if we admitted all these, we'd have to contradict ourselves to deny the conclusion. Reasons, premises, and argument together is called an argument in logic. It doesn't mean necessarily people are shouting at each other and disagreeing. It means, here are my reasons for this conclusion. That's called an argument. And what we want to test is whether any argument is valid. I hope this much is clear, and we'll come back and continue with this next session.